So in our continuing study of the church, we're going to begin to look at some of the different figures or symbols that are used in the Bible that give us an idea of what the church is like, the relationship between Christ and the church. And you might have picked up from our first song that tonight and from our little quiz, we're going to talk about the figure of the church as the shepherd and the sheep. Now, God calls us sheep. Now, you might not be too happy about that because we'd probably rather God refer to us as a ram or a horse, you know, something that's very powerful, or maybe a deer or a bird that's something graceful or valued. What do we know about sheep? Well, we know that sadly sheep aren't too smart. That's one thing that we know. They're not very cunning, and they tend to wander off into danger. John Bodie referred to Philadelphia College of the Bible, which used to be in the city of Philadelphia. It's moved now over to Langhorne. It's changed its name a couple of times. And on Thursday of this past week, they invited pastors to come over for a conference for a day. And so I signed up on Wednesday to go. I just heard about it Wednesday. And so I went over there, and the subject matter was, believe it or not, on shepherding and sheep. The Bible calls Jesus the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and pastors are under shepherds. So the whole day was given over to the subject of shepherds and sheep. And the fellow who spoke talked about sheep, and he told a lot of stories about sheep, and one of the most interesting stories he told about sheep was that there were a flock of sheep that just decided to walk to the edge of a cliff and fall off it. And so hundreds of sheep died. But as the day went on, more sheep followed those that went off the cliff. And so there were thousands by the end of the day that had fallen off the cliff, following the other sheep. But only hundreds died because as the day went on, the pile got higher and higher and softer for those that were falling upon those that were already there. Sheep need protection. They will follow their shepherd's voice. Now, sheep can become very restless. They are always looking for personal nourishment. Boy, does that sound practical? They'll go anywhere if they think there's food or nourishment. When sheep fall down, they can't help themselves up. They're helpless. They need the shepherd to lift them up. If you hang around sheep for a while, you'll find out that they are very needy creatures. They can't even clean themselves. Monkeys can clean themselves. Dogs can clean themselves, but sheep can't clean themselves. And sheep cannot defend themselves. They have no defense system. They are basically completely helpless without a shepherd. Sheep are good at following. That's one of their positives. They're really good at following. However, they're so good at following that it really doesn't even matter who the leader is. They'll follow anybody. They can be very foolish and very gullible. Sheep wander looking for greener pastures, more water. They're very, very selfish. But you know, when God chose to send angels to announce the birth of his son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't send those angels to the palace. He didn't send the angels to the temple. The first creatures to hear that message were sheep and shepherds. Just think about that. More than 500 times you will find the word sheep or lambs related to it mentioned in the Bible. Now, sheep also tend to flock together because there's strength in numbers. But there's also foolishness in numbers. As you were a teenager, did you ever say to your parents, everybody's doing it? That's the way sheep talk. Because everybody's going that way. So we all just wander that way. But there's also safety in numbers. So if you are able to confess, Lord, I'm just like a sheep, in need of guidance, in need of direction, in need of care, in need of protection, then you won't live aimlessly. You won't wander around without a purpose. We're all familiar with this verse. It's a part of our series on Wednesday afternoon and evening in preparation for Holy Week. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep. That's what we are. I think that, you know, when the gospel has to tell us the bad news before it tells us the good news, I think that this might be one of those aspects of the bad news of the gospel. Because it takes humility to confess that I'm just a sheep. People don't want to admit that they're in need. They want to feel like they can pull up their own bootstraps and they can accomplish something on their own and maybe they can even work their way to heaven. Why do I have to confess that I need somebody to help me? But that's what sheep do. And not only do we need help, but we go astray and we turn others to their own way. And of course, the Lord laid on Jesus our sin, our iniquity. So when we realize that we are in need of a shepherd, we can be grateful that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us is our good shepherd. We're going to look at that text tonight. He's our great shepherd, and he's our chief shepherd. Shepherds are really common in the Bible. Did you know that? It doesn't take too long in reading your Bible before you find one of the first shepherds. He was in our quiz tonight, Abel. Abel must have been a shepherd because according to Genesis 4:4, he took of one of his flocks. Dogs aren't in flocks, goats aren't in flocks, sheep are in flocks. And he took one of those and he sacrificed it in an offering to the Lord. And then, of course, some of the more famous shepherds in the Bible are Abraham, Moses, and David. You know, when Moses goes into Pharaoh, how many times did he approach Pharaoh and say, God says, let my people go, and all of these plagues came, and then he took something and he threw it down in front of Pharaoh, and it turned into a snake. What did he throw down? His shepherd's staff. He still carried that around with him, a reminder of how God called him as a shepherd. Later on in the Old Testament, you have Amos, who is a very, very famous shepherd. Turn with me to Matthew 18, if you would. The parallel passage to Matthew 18 is Luke 15, which will also be on the slide. But in Matthew 18, I want us to look at this parable of Jesus, a parable of a shepherd. It's a great parable. Matthew 18, 12 through 14, the parallel is Luke 15, 3 through 7. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father. Is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? Jesus tells us that God the Father seeks that one that has gone astray, as a shepherd would seek that one little lamb that has gone astray. And this parable teaches us something very, very valuable that needs to be communicated, not just tonight, but I think everywhere. That one is important. And that one is you and me. It's every person. This parable communicates that each person individually is important to God. You are important to God. Did you know that? I think that this is a message that people need to hear. And as we think about the culture of our youth today, I was with some men just recently, and they were sharing with me, they weren't even Christians. And they were sharing with me some of the troubles that they are finding with their nieces and nephews and grandchildren and the young people today. And how many of them are depressed. Many of them are even on medication. Many of them have no purpose. They've got no goals. They sit around and play video games all the time. They don't even know what to do with their lives. They need to know that they're important to God. That God made them in his image. And that just like this shepherd would seek that one little lamb that's lost, every single person is important to God. We need to share that message with people. That to live aimlessly is to live hopelessly. And we have a great picture of the shepherd caring for the sheep. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 then. As we respond to that message, and hopefully you have, I think most of you have, I know I did. I know that I understood this parable personally and that God loved me and cared for me and he wanted to provide for me a life that was abundant and full and free. But in salvation, we become part of the body of Christ, the church. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, "For you were like sheep going astray." Don't you think Peter read Isaiah? Sounds just like Isaiah, doesn't it? "But now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, Jesus, my shepherd, your shepherd, my overseer of our soul." He cares for us in a marvelous way. Now, in our morning services, we're going through the Gospel of John. I'd like you to come with me to John chapter 10. And as we turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to look at this passage, as Jesus says he's the good shepherd and he gives his life for the sheep, I want to tell you a story. It's a story about something that happened in our town a number of years ago. I may have shared this story with some of you in a different setting, and if I have, just listen to it again, and I think it's a great story. There was a church in town. There's 8 churches in town, and this particular church in town was going to get a new pastor. And so they sent out an invitation to all of the senior pastors in our town to come and help as they install this new pastor. And so it was on a Sunday afternoon, so I had the opportunity to be able to go. It wasn't going to interfere with any of our services. And so Wilma and I went down to the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church as they installed their new pastor. The previous pastor became a personal friend of mine. When I came here 28 years ago, the local ministerium of clergy in Whiting used to have lunch together. And I got to know Monsignor Shenrock personally very well. We'd share lunch together every month for years. And he eventually, unfortunately, had Alzheimer's and he passed away. And the church called another pastor. So Wilma and I went to this installation of their new pastor. And there was a bishop from Trenton in the Catholic diocese who came to bring the Bible message. Came to bring the challenge to the congregation as they were going to install their new shepherd. And that was some of the language that they used. And the bishop said, I want to tell you a story that's in the Bible from John chapter 10. And then he pointed to me and he said, "That Bible pastor knows the Bible better than we Catholics do." And he proceeded to tell the story about Jesus as the good shepherd. And that he is the shepherd of the sheep, but a pastor is an under-shepherd. And he began to tell that story. And so here Jesus says in John 10, please follow, we've been through this in the morning, but let us be reminded. Verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and follows him, for they know his voice. Yea, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I want to go on where Jesus then says, in verse 7, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And so there were a number of parallel workshops last Thursday over at the Christian college that I attended, and I decided to go to the one on some of the personal ministry of what a pastor does in shepherding the flock. And it was kind of an interesting event to go to, because the fellow who spoke was an Anglican vicar, which was quite interesting. I wasn't used to being presented by an Anglican vicar, but nevertheless, he told about how in his personal life experience, he came to the realization that he was a hireling. It was a job. He didn't care about the people. He'd just punch the clock, do the work, fill out the sheets, send them in, make his bishop happy, and do that. And how the Lord worked in his heart so that he could not become a hireling anymore, but become a real shepherd. And I thought that was very, very interesting. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6 then. In Mark chapter 6, we have a beautiful illustration of the care that a shepherd provides for the sheep. Here it says that when Jesus came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because, and here's what the writer says, they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so he taught them. I love Mark because Mark presents Jesus constantly serving, doing, helping. It's a great book to challenge us with what are we doing for the Lord. And it's interesting that as Jesus saw them, you know, if you saw somebody in need, what would you do? Maybe you'd give them a meal. Some people who are in need maybe need a job. Some people in need might need direction. What does Jesus do as he sees these people in need? He teaches them. He leads them into the truth of God, into the knowledge of a relationship of obviously salvation, all the things that Jesus would teach about. And so we see here that what does the shepherd do? He ministers to our greatest needs by giving us direction, because that's what sheep need. Left unto ourselves, we'll go astray. Come with me to Zechariah in the Old Testament. This is a very severe warning here in the Old Testament. In the book of Zechariah, and that's way in the back. So if you're in Malachi, or as our Italian brethren call it, Malachi, just go back a few pages, and you'll find Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 2. I'll read the whole verse. For the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies, and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. Notice that. There's no direction given. Throw out the astrology. Throw out the soothsayers. Throw all these things away. They're not going to help you. Notice, they're in trouble because there is no shepherd. There's a sad phenomenon. Probably it's not happening to anybody who would come to an evening service at Whiting Bible Church, but there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians who don't have a shepherd. What I mean by that is an under-shepherd, a connection with a local church where they can be taught and instructed. Jesus made that one of the three aspects of the Great Commission. Yes, to make disciples, to have them baptized, but then have them be taught. And that's what we continue to do, and we need to be taught by God's under-shepherds. And a sad reality is that there's a lot of people who are ignoring that relationship and responsibility. I want to now take you through a lot of great and comforting and encouraging verses about Jesus as our shepherd. And they're going to be on the wall, and I'm going to read them for us, and you can copy down the references if you'd like and read them later. But I'd like to share these with you, some familiar ones and maybe some new ones. The 23rd Psalm, we certainly think of that, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I think that is so unique because the psalmist could have simply said, the Lord is the shepherd of Israel. And he would have been 100% correct. But he didn't say that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. And when we know that shepherd in a personal way, the rest of the verse and chapter makes sense. I shall not want. What's the problem with sheep? They're always wanting, and they're always wandering to have their own needs met. Yet when the Lord is my shepherd, I have contentment, really. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Notice the care and provision that the shepherd makes for us, giving us what we need so that we don't run around looking for it somewhere else. Psalm 78, verse 5. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Hey, don't miss that point. Sheep are good at gathering together as a flock. What does it say in the New Testament? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some do. It's necessary for us to come together like a flock. Psalm 90, 79, verse 13. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, we give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Hey, let's not miss the point, folks. We need to pass the torch. We need to get it to the next generation. We need to communicate the truth. It doesn't die with us, amen? We need to let it go on. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. I love this phrase. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus referred to that in John 10, that there's a flock and a pasture and a place where he cares for us together, and we are his. We belong to him. We're not our own. Paul would tell us that. Psalm 119, verse 76. Here's a confession of the psalmist. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. We could all say, yes, we have. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Why is it that we tend to continually want to be like sheep, wandering away? Maybe we need the encouragement of each other to stay in the flock, to listen to the shepherd, to follow his voice. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, this is a severe condemnation to those of us who are under shepherds of the flock. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Certainly severe admonitions that pastors need to hear. Jeremiah 50, verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Oh, as you pray, some of you say you pray for me, pray that the Lord will continue to just rivet my heart in his word to give the direction that he wants me to provide as your under shepherd. We do not want to go astray. We want to follow our great shepherd. And then Ezekiel, this is a long passage. You might even be able to open it and read it in your Bible. It's a lengthy one. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his own flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on a high mountain of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what is lost and bring back what is driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what is sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. I trust as I read that, there were many points that we emphasized in the beginning of the message about what sheep need, and we see how the Lord meets that need, how he provides and cares for us. Micah 2, verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people." Yes, I guess when sheep get together, Jack sort of illustrated that earlier in our meeting, they make some noise, and we can make a good noise for the Lord. And then Jesus in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves." One of the sad realities, and Travis is dealing with this in his book as he preaches on the Sunday nights that he gets opportunity, is the fact that wolves can creep into the church. Wolves, Jesus said, in sheep's clothing. They can act like us. They can talk like us. They can pretend to be like us. But you know what? Eventually, they're going to reveal who they are and wreak havoc in the church. And sadly, for some of us that have been in the church for a long time, we've witnessed that. We've witnessed people who look like they were good for a while, and then something happened. And you say, what happened? Why did that person do that? And then all of a sudden, the church is filled with division and conflict. And you're saying, what's going on, Lord? What's happening here? It's because wolves came in. We have to be so careful. Well, then finally, Luke 12, verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Yes, we have a great shepherd, don't we, Jesus? He cares for us. He provides our deepest needs. We need to remember as sheep to continue to hear his voice. I trust that you've come to that place in your spiritual walk, in your abiding in Christ, where as you read the Bible and as you seek God's will in his spirit, you have what has been called that soft, tender prompting, that little voice where you know the Lord is ministering to you and you're following his direction. We need to hear the shepherd's voice and follow closely. Because if we don't, we're bound to go astray. I can as easily as you can. We need to continue to follow our great shepherd. Would you pray with me? Father, tonight, how grateful we are that you are our shepherd, that you have sought us out. And Lord, tonight, maybe there's one who is still wandering, might not be in the service here, but might be listening by way of the CD. And I pray, Lord, that they might come to the realization that they're lost without you, and that they might humble themselves to confess their need as a little lamb that's lost and come to the chief shepherd of their soul and bow their heart and trust Jesus, who died for their sin, was buried and rose again, and can give to them eternal life if they'll turn to Christ. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you do care for us as a shepherd in such a personal and intimate way. Help us to be good sheep who follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your